as we see the stories of God and his people, it is God speaking to prophets and giving them the message that he wants them to tell his people. God is a communicator. But it's not just confined to the Old Testament. We see God speaking in the New Testament. When Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, we see the record of God saying, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." And people heard that. Now, I don't pretend to know how that sort of what that sounds like. I've never heard God's voice speaking audibly, though some people say that they have. And then as we go through the book of Acts, we see that God speaks to Peter audibly. We see that when Paul, when he was Saul, became a Christian, it's because Jesus spoke to him audibly from heaven. See, God is a speaking God. And when we get to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, it says this: "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, the Lord Jesus." So God speaks to us. We've been following a series we've been doing on our vision. Last 2 weeks ago, we heard about what it was to be a disciple of Christ. Last week, we heard about praying for one another, for the lost and for our world. And today, we're looking at proclaiming the gospel, speaking the gospel, calling for repentance and loving one another. The proclamation of the gospel, I want to say, is more than just standing up the front here proclaiming. It's just speaking. It's just speaking about God. It's about speaking about the Lord Jesus. It's about speaking about your faith. And I'm going to speak to God right now and ask him for help as we look at this passage we just read. Father God, we thank you that you're a speaking God. Not just that, that you're a listening God. And we pray, Lord, as I speak this morning, that our hearts will be open, that the words that I say may be actually your words. And that as we open your word, you'll speak as you have promised from your word. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So firstly, I want to say, if we're speakers and we're to speak to others, the first thing we've got to do is to actually speak to God first. That's the first thing we do. Speak to God. Colossians chapter 4, if you've got it open, it was read by a leader just a second ago. Paul's first thing he does when he thinks about speaking to others is speaking to God first. Let me read from verse 2. Paul says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for us for the message, to speak the mystery of the Messiah for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it as I am required to do." Why does Paul ask for prayer? Why is prayer so important when he goes to speak and when we go to speak? It's because we so often get it wrong. We so often speak when we shouldn't. We so often say the wrong words. We so often don't think about what we want to say and how we want to say it. There isn't a person here who hasn't got themselves in trouble because of something that they said. See, James says in chapter 3 of his letter, he says, "The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark." And see, we've all set out our own bushfires, haven't we? By what we've said. And so Paul says for him, as he goes to speak to others, he wants others to pray for him that he may speak well. Well, let's go back to verse 3 again, which we just read, and unpack a bit. And what's he pray? Well, Paul prays for open doors. He prays for open doors for the gospel. See, one of our jobs in the kingdom of God is to pray for those who are in full-time ministry, ministering to those all over the world. That's why we pray for our missionary partners. That's why we pray for the Frenches in Spain. That's why we pray for Adam Richards at AFES at the university. We pray for Karen in Ireland. We pray for Michael Duggett at the MacArthur Indigenous Church. We pray for those we've sent out, Pete Ritchie with the Military Focus Group. We pray for all those in cross-cultural work that God may open a door for the message of Christ. See, that's what all Christian workers want you to pray for. If you have no idea what to pray for a Christian worker, pray that. Pray that God would open doors for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to be spoken. See, if doors were opened all the time, if people's hearts were soft to the gospel, if churches were overflowing, if there was no one left to save, we would have nothing to pray for. But that's not the case. And this is why we send people into mission. And we pray as we send them that God might open doors for them, that he may provide opportunities. You see, Paul knows how to speak about Jesus. He wants God to provide the opportunities. He needs God to open the doors for him. We read a couple of weeks ago in Acts that there were occasions when God actually closed the door on Paul. No, you're not going here. No, you're not going there either. I'm going to open another door for you. And while Paul is called to proclaim the good news, he relies on God to provide him the opportunities. See, he relies on God rather than himself. Dennis Byrd was an NFL footballer for the New York Jets. In 1992, he collided with a teammate in a game he was playing. He collapsed to the ground and lay motionless. The New York Jets trainer ran onto the field. They stopped the game. And Dennis said to his trainer, he said, "I've broken my neck. I cannot feel my legs." And so they got the spinal board out and they got the Medicard and padded him up and they put him on a trolley and took him to the hospital, took him to the ambulance. And as they put him into the ambulance, the trainer heard Dennis praying with his wife. And his prayer was something like this: "Dear Lord, I pray, I thank you for this opportunity you have given me to glorify your name. Please help me to stand," hear that word, stand, for someone who hasn't got any legs now, "stand for you so that your name may be glorified." Now, I'm not sure that's the prayer I would be praying. It could be, but I'm not sure. In 1993, a year later, Dennis Byrd walked the New York Jets onto the field. Not to play, because his career was over, but as a testament to how good God had been to him. And actually made a movie of his life. God had used Dennis Byrd and opened a door that we wouldn't assume would be a door that is opening. Now, tragically, Dennis Byrd died in 2016 when he got hit by a car. A car came across the other side of the road and careered into his car and he died. Sometimes doors come in various sizes and in stages and they look different. And they may not last as long as they thought they would. I wonder if you were Dennis Byrd, if you would have seen that door opening. I wonder how many doors are opening in our lives and we don't actually recognise them as doors. Perhaps you're waiting for the right time of life. Or perhaps things aren't going well for you now, so you think, well, I can't really talk about Christ now. Friends, I urge you to use your life no matter where you are or no matter what you're doing, because God can be and will be honoured by people who seek to honour him. See, we send people into mission, into ministry, so they can speak the good news of Jesus into people's lives. Please pray that God will indeed open doors for these conversations and these lives to be changed. But what does Paul speak about? What does he want to proclaim? Well, we see in verse 3, it's actually the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ rubs up against everything that's intuitive to us, everything that's intuitive to this world, and that is the mystery of Christ is this, that God would become man, that this man, the Lord Jesus, would live as a human, that he would die on a cross, that he would take the punishment for evil humans. He would die for sins he did not commit. He would then be raised again, only to offer forgiveness to the very people who put him on the cross. And he would offer them eternal life with him forever. Friends, that is an outrageous message. It's a ridiculous message. And throughout the generations to follow, including this century, we have all sorts of reasons why this mystery is hard to believe. From God becoming human, all the way through to us, just our desire to be our own God, to run things our way. We have all sorts of reasons why it is hard to believe the mystery of Christ. But for the believer, it is no mystery. It has been revealed. And this message still needs to be heard. It still needs to be spoken of more than ever. And look at this mystery of Christ. Look what it did for Paul. Where's Paul? He is in prison. And what's his prayer? Not that the prison door would be open, but rather people's hearts would be open to the gospel. That is what Paul is on about. Has the mystery of Christ so affected you that it's the primary thing that drives you? Is it the thing that gets you up in the morning? Is it the thing that you desire for people to come to know? For Paul, prison wasn't a problem, because he was able to proclaim the mystery of Christ. It was an open door. For Dennis Byrd, losing the use of his legs wasn't a problem, because it was a chance to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing this is. Well, furthermore, in verse 4, Paul talks about speaking the message as required. He wants to reveal this message as he is required to do. The Greek word there for required is that it is necessary. He has no other option but to reveal what God has revealed to him. He can't help but do it. And note, it is the spoken word. The gospel is meant to be spoken into people's lives. See, many fall in the trap of saying, well, I'll just let what I do speak for who I am and what I believe in. But friends, there's a danger in that. There's a saying that was mistakenly quoted from Francis of Assisi. He said, preach the gospel and where necessary, use words. Now, we don't really know if he said that, and if he did say it, it's wrong. Or we take it out of context. Yes, our actions are very important, but our actions can be misunderstood. And good works must go hand in hand with speaking the gospel. See, there are plenty of people doing good things and worthwhile things all through the world who have no belief in Jesus whatsoever. See, good works actually don't set you apart. But if they're done in balance with speaking about the good news of the Lord Jesus, then it brings them into a new dimension. But just to back up about how important speech is, Paul says this in Romans chapter 10. You'll see the words come up. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching it to them? See, we call out to the Lord with our mouth. We confess with our mouth. He is Lord, and the word is preached. Well, back to Colossians, and Paul turns the light off himself onto his readers, and that is us. He's asked for prayer that God might open doors, that the mystery of Christ might be revealed, and that he should speak it clearly. But now, friends, the application comes to us. Paul turns a spotlight on us. Verse 5, act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Act wisely. We are to speak the gospel. We are to proclaim it. But we are to act wisely so we can talk wisely. Just because speaking is the most important thing we do doesn't mean it's the first thing that we do. See, no one appreciates the person who goes straight into a gospel presentation in the first conversation they've had with someone. That's never really well accepted. You talk to someone that you hardly know, you go in at the wrong time or with the wrong motive, or you go in with a superior way and it never ends well. See, acting wisely means picking your time to speak. It also means taking up what Paul has asked for in the earlier verses, asking for open doors. These are the things we should be praying about. Lord, give me an open door. Give me an opportunity. Praying that God will provide those opportunities will mean that we will actually look for opportunities. I'm pretty sure your neighbour's not going to knock on your front door and ask you deep and meaningful questions about life if you've never made the effort to get to know them. I'm pretty sure that mums and dads at school aren't just going to come up random to you and ask you things about Jesus if you've never made the effort to have a conversation with them. I'm pretty sure those soccer mums or dads or those people at tutorials and music lessons aren't just going to come up to you if you're just going to sit in your car and listen to your radio or put your headphones in. You need to be available for conversation. I'm pretty sure the newcomer at our church is not going to come up to you and make conversation with you, especially if you're talking to your friends, the same friends you talk to every week. We need to make an effort. We need to make conversation. We need to be available. And when we become available, friends, we need to become tasty conversationalists. Verse 6, your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. See, when you talk, make your conversation palatable. Now, the illustration that Paul gives is about salt. Think of both seasoning and preserving. It's tasty and it leads to more. Now, friends, I love a good hot chip. But it's got to have salt on it. You see, if you came to me and said, have a hot chip without salt, you can have all your chips. I don't want them. Actually, I went to get hot chips the other night, and the lady said to me, oh, did you say without salt? Are you kidding me? Did people actually say that? But you can see Paul's point here. Your conversation needs to be tasty. Make conversation that people are going to want to come back for. Now, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular here, but some of you will need to become interesting. Seriously, I'm not thinking of anyone. It's just But sometimes it's hard work, especially if you're an introvert. It's hard to talk to people. I don't want to make this a joke. It is hard for a lot of us to talk to people. It sort of freaks us out. It makes us nervous. It makes us anxious. It makes us exhausted. I know plenty of Christians who are introverted and go home from church exhausted. Why? Because they've taken the time to talk. It's hard. It's hard for some of us to talk. But I want to encourage you to do it. I know plenty of introverted Christian ministers and missionaries, and they find it hard, but they do it. And it's exhausting for them, but like Paul, they say, as I am required to speak. See, Paul himself was not a natural speaker. He was not a person who had a natural presence. But he did it. Be people who do not give up. And be people that pray that God will actually open a door for good conversation. Pray that God will provide opportunities for you to just not to talk for the sake of talking, but that God would provide gospel opportunities and gospel conversations. I suspect for many of us, gospel conversations don't happen because we don't pray about it. Because we don't pray about it, we're not looking for God's leading, and so we don't see the opportunities that God's presenting us. See, it's interesting. If you pray about something, you'll find answers. If you pray for opportunities, you'll be surprised how many opportunities you actually see. Not that there's any more opportunities, it's just that your eyes are open because you're praying about it. It's intentional. Friends, pray to be wise, pray to be intuitive, and pray that your conversation will be gracious and seasoned with salt so that others will come to know the mystery of Christ for which you've been forgiven and you have the assurance of faith and the hope of eternal life. And friends, isn't that what you want others to know? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a speaking God, that you spoke through your word, and you speak through your word, you spoke through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you actually speak through us. We pray, Lord, with all the things that are going in our lives, with all our things that hold us back, with all our anxiousness and fears and all those sort of things. Father, we pray that we will give them to you, that you will use us. We do pray for open doors. We pray for open hearts. We pray for conversations that are gracious and seasoned with salt. Father, we thank you that you have saved us from darkness into the light. And Father, we pray that we might be people who want others to know what we know, to feel what we feel, to have the assurance that we have, to have the forgiveness that we have. Father, may we be bold and be the people that speak as we are required to. And we pray it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.